It's April 26th, 2016, and I've been to hell and back, and back to hell, and back, and now, back again. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Emily Dalton, and this shit is bananas. This is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast.
This is our 6.87 patch notes special.
Fucking bananas.
So, it's an interesting patch, I think. Mostly, I don't find it that bananas. There are a few things that I find pretty crazy, but mostly I don't think is as big a deal as maybe some other people nearby do.
Blah!
Public service announcement right off the top. Guys, there are some bugs going around, and you need to be aware of them. First off, if you invite someone who's in a game, and they accept, they will immediately get an abandon and lose all their money and the ability to gain gold. Don't invite people who are in games. I'm sure that'll get fixed, but don't do that right now. Also, Silver Edge right now is not working properly. My understanding of it is if you try and use it on someone who has evasion, it just won't apply the debuff. So, like, if you get it to counter, for example, a Phantom Assassin, it won't do that. So that's a problem. And again, that'll probably be fixed. The Ags upgrades. You buy an Aghanims and it says it upgrades your Echo Slam, but it actually upgrades what it's supposed to upgrade. That's whatever. Not a big deal. And I don't know if this one's a bug, but they buffed the melee range of all heroes from 128 to 150. And Templar Assassin is a ranged hero, but she starts off with melee range, and then you buff it with a passive. So she starts at 128. So she now, at level 1, has the worst range in the game. It seems like that's probably not intended. So I should probably do something about that. Anyway, Dota. Let's talk about Scan.
So Scan is one of the things that I at first sort of made blargle blargle noises at. But then after thinking about it for a minute, I'm okay with Scan, because it seems like it mostly helps people down at my MMR and a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I mean, I think it helps people all the way up. It just helps less and less the further up you go, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was playing a support, and my team was pushing... We were dire. We were pushing the Radiant Tier 2 top. And I wanted them to be careful, so I scanned the Radiant Secret Shop, and what do you know? That little circle lit up green, and they were like, oh, shit. I scanned there because I was pretty darn sure there was someone there, right?
Right.
And I was just trying to sort of illustrate a point. But also it can be useful just like, oh, I'm farming and I know there's an invisible hero. Let me just scan the jungle real quick. Oh, shit, I got to get out of here. Lower down it does more. And then as you work your way up, it does less and less. It will always be helpful. And I think it's really not the kind of change I would have expected them to make to Dota, you know? But I think it's pretty welcome.
I don't even know how to talk about welcome mostly because of an item that we'll get to, I'm saying things like, I'm never playing Dota again. There's someone else you can do this podcast with, right? Because I'm never playing Dota again. So
can we get your melodrama out of the way then? Let's talk about the Tome of Experience.
Tome of Knowledge.
Whatever. It gives you, like, 450 experience or something like that.
I thought it was... I haven't played. I thought it was, like, 475, but yeah, right around there.
Yeah. So it gives you, like...
You can buy experience!
On a 10-minute cooldown for the entire team, like, you get... Like, it's a team-wide stock. It's on a 10-minute cooldown. It's not even half a level. It's not even, like... It's nothing. It's so little experience.
Did you see whether you can use it on other people?
No, you can't.
It's a consumable. Okay.
It's, like, for me, it is troubling because it's, like, it's suggestive of what Ice Frog is thinking. I think this is an experiment on his part, but as far as its effect on the game, it doesn't fucking matter. The numbers are just such that it doesn't matter at all.
I think spiritually it has an effect. And as you say, like, if this is a harbinger, not good, man.
I mean, Ice Frog experiments with weird shit all the time. I think he is interested in the relationship between gold and experience, especially given that, I don't know, a major MOBA has come out in the last couple of years that only has experience and not gold. And so he's like, I wonder how these systems interact. Let me do a little experiment and see what happens. Ice Frog is known for his little experiments.
What else can you think of that has been this, what feels like out of character for Dota, that he's done?
I mean, I can think of situations where he nerfed the shit out of people without intending to keep it. I can think of situations where he gave people crazy buffs that weren't intended to stick. If you're asking, like...
This feels like a character change, though, like a temperament change to the game. And I can't think of another thing along those lines. And you've seen more than I have, so I'm asking, can you think of another one like that?
I think Aether Lens was a pretty big polarity shift for the game. I think allowing people, like, one of the things that has defined Dota is that your spells are your spells. You can affect them with aghanims sometimes, but your spells are your spells, and that's not true anymore. You can make them longer range, you can make them deal more damage. That's one of the changes in this one, in this patch, is that every 16 intelligence adds 1% extra to your spell damage, which is a really, like, that's a big change for this game. And, like, that, like, it's a change in attitude, again, because the numbers are such that, like, I mean, 1% per 16, like, even intelligence carries aren't going to get that much damage out of that. But it's a change in attitude. And I think that's the kind of thing we've actually seen a lot of. I think the Tome of Experiences, or the Tome of Knowledge is really big. But, like, showing the hitboxes on creep camps was really huge. Moving Roshan back in 6.83, I think it was really huge. Like, there have been a lot of really big changes to Comeback Gold.
Yeah, Comeback Gold was big. But that was big in a direction I liked. This is big in a direction I hate.
Well, you're not always going to like them, and they're not always going to stick. Comeback Gold got severely scaled back.
Yeah, and that was probably good.
Yeah, and I don't even know if he intends to do something with this. I think he's curious about what he can do with Dota. And I think it's... I would be worried if he did too much more with this. But I do think it's healthy that he's willing to say, like, well, like, you know, maybe this wasn't even him, right? Like, we talk about Ice Frog as being, like, the arbiter. And he's certainly the person who makes the call. But other people work on Dota. And this is like a market survey question, right? Someone's like, I bet we could do cool things with buying experience. And Ice Frog says, all right, I'll put a shitty version of it in the game and we'll see what the data says.
I love the image, though, of Valve employees, the Dota Valve employees, and one of them says, let's try buying experience. And everyone else just silently wheels their desks away.
Yeah. I know the desks have wheels on them just sort of normally, but I kind of like to imagine them as being like the desk version of Heelys.
See, I think of it more as like a Weeping Angel situation. Like, you just look and suddenly, like, oh shit, I'm alone on this project. Uh-oh.
So, okay, have you still decided that you're gonna quit Dota for threes or whatever?
Well, let me tell you the one thing that's holding me in. And I know we're just going completely out of order. I'm a wild woman, but that Pugna buff makes me very happy. Pugna needed some love. And it's a cool buff that seems appropriate. High five, Pugna.
And it's a sort of across-the-board kind of buff, because it's the same way for Tombstone as well. Just like, illusions can't damage, don't count as heroes for units that take X number of hits to kill. I'm like, yes, good.
Yay.
Illusion heroes are good enough. They don't need more utility in that sense. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about Arc Warden, who has gotten nerfed pretty badly.
That was going to happen.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, like, I don't know, we had a conversation about it last night, and I've read some stuff since, and I think I agree with almost all of it, right? Like, I definitely think you had to make the change to make the clone not copy Rapier.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
That's bogus. And... I also think that the nerf making it so that if you step inside magnetic field, as you know, if an enemy steps inside magnetic field, they can then hit anyone inside magnetic field. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that, like, in a gameplay sense, that's the thing that will just have good feel, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a problem of... He seems like a hero who is starting... I'm starting to wonder what they want with him, you know? Like, they buffed Spark Wraith, which is the spell of his that no one actually cares about, and maybe now they will. And they nerfed Flux in a way that's fair, but like the, also Flux wasn't like super OP or anything. And also they made it so that he doesn't get reset cooldowns when he hits Tempest Double, which in theory I agree with, but the sum total of all these changes is that he feels like kind of like a weirder, worse Tinker. And I'm not sure.
I mean... So we're down to the last couple of heroes from Dota to be added to Dota 2, and I figure there's a reason that they were the last couple. You know, they weren't saving them because they were the best. It's like, well, shit, I'm not sure exactly what that we got. So I think there's going to be a lot more field testing. I mean, I would expect the same thing if we ever see Pitlord. I'd expect there to probably be some big reworks there, too. Like, okay, how about this? No. Okay. And both Oracle and Wyvern got just huge nerfs after a while after their initial introduction. So I think that's just... Yeah, part of the process.
Yeah.
Hopefully he comes back better than Wyvern has.
Yeah. One note real quick to r/Dota 2. Whoever it was that decided to make a topic after, 12 hours of this patch, saying, like, you know, like, Arc Warden's win rate has dropped from 43% to 36. You've killed him. It's like, it's been 12 hours. What the hell is wrong with you? People expecting the meta to shake out in less than a day are idiots.
Predators!
Anyway, so we got a bunch of Aghanim's upgrades.
And they're boring.
Most of them are boring. Some of them are really weird. I don't know. Like, okay, so... I'll talk first about the one that I feel like I can speak the most to. The Earthshaker Aghanims, right?
Yeah.
I have played 2 games as Earthshaker. I have gotten Aghanims in both of them because we were winning and I could. The first one, I got it instead of a Blink Dagger. Don't do that. The conclusion I'm going to come to... Okay, sorry. For people who are not up on the patch notes, his new Aghanims no longer buffs Echo Slam. It now changes Enchant Totem so that within a 900 range, you can target the ground and he will leap to that area and instantly, when he lands, instantly cast Enchant Totem. So here's the thing. His leap is this parabolic arc that takes 2 seconds from when you cast it to land. And during that time, you can target him and hit him with whatever you want. It's too damn slow. I think I can see situations where you would want it instead of a blink, I guess, if, like, by the time you get blink, the enemy Spectre already has a Radiance, I guess. But it just seems too slow right now. It doesn't seem good enough. In the game where I got it instead of a Blink Dagger, it was good that I was playing well, generally speaking, and we were winning by a lot, because that was not very effective. In the other game where I got it after I got a Blink Dagger, it had some utility for sure. It was not worth the money. And I feel like for a lot of these ags, there's sort of a question of if they're worth the money.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I feel like, the Alchemist Aghanims has made Val feel free to be like, well, I mean, this isn't that good, but like, shit, you know, if there's an Alchemist to give it to you for free, you'll take it, right? And on that note, Gyrocopter has an AGS now where it's called, like, Side Gunner, where, like, every 1.6 seconds he does a random auto attack to someone who's close enough. It's really shitty.
Yeah.
It's a really crappy AGS.
I guess it's technically better than an empty slot.
I don't know that it's better than his old AGS of a global cooldown.
Well,
and that was a bad axe. So, like, that's saying something. And similarly, on the weird front, Mirana's new axe is just that every 8 seconds when there are enemies near her that can see her so that it doesn't break her stealth or anything, she just, like, automatically casts Starfall, basically. It doesn't use her normal Starfall cooldown and doesn't use any mana. It's just, like, every 8 seconds, it scans and sees if there are enemies near her that detect her, and if so, stars will fall from the sky. It's really weird. It's really, like, Dota Imba fucking solution.
I would say that it's boring weird. I would go that far.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is a surprising, boring choice you made there.
Yeah, I feel like that's the case for a lot of these, right?
Yes.
Like, surprising and boring. Storm Spirit. His W now affects anybody who's close by. He doesn't have to target it. Electric Vortex just now pulls people in.
How about it?
Yeah, that's not super boring. Bloodseeker. Two Ruptures.
Yeah.
Good job. And then Winter Wyverns is also boring, but I can at least see the point, which is that now her Arctic Burn is a toggle, basically, that burns mana as it's on, and she can, you know, fly freely and do her slowing auto attacks whenever she wants.
That's not nothing, but it's not worth it. I don't think.
I don't know. It might be worth it. The mana drain rate seemed pretty fast to me, so maybe it's not. If it was lower, I think it would definitely be worth it.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those cases of Ice Frog playing it safe, and then he'll tweak the numbers once he gets some data, right? But across the board, these Aghanims are dumb.
Yeah. I'm not feeling it.
Me either. And that's, you know, we're coming off of, like, when I first saw these patch notes, I had just gotten off of work. And I pulled up the Slack that me and Emily and some of my friends were part of, and there were just a bunch of people freaking out about the patch notes, and one of my friends, host emeritus Johnny, saying that, like, it's a whole new game. And that kind of set some expectations for me. And Scan is really crazy. Nothing else in this game is, or in this patch, is at all on par with the changes they made in 6.86, and that's fine. But a lot of these changes feel like changes for their own sake are kind of dumb. And I think overall I like this patch, but a lot of this patch I am going to kind of ignore because it will never come up, I feel like. One thing that I won't ignore is that Blade Mail now returns, like, Blade Mail doesn't ignore BKB anymore. It will return in whatever form the damage was taken. So, like, if you hit him with a magical spell, it will return in magic, which obviously a BKB would pierce. If you hit him with pure or physical, it will return in pure or physical. I really strongly dislike this.
How come?
Because it makes BKB, or it makes Blade Mail, it's like, it's a massive, massive, massive buff to Blade Mail, which was already a really good item. It, like, put it this way, like, as a Wind Ranger, for instance, who is fighting a Pudge who has a lot of strength and then Blade Mail, I could turn on BKB and attack him. Now when his Blade Mail is on, I can't do anything. There is literally nothing I can do or I will die. It does not matter how much more farm I have than him. He has more health and he has Blade Mail, so he will always win that exchange. And that's idiotic.
Doesn't sound great when you put it like that.
Like, have the most strength and have Blade Mail and you will win any one-on-one. As long as Blade Mail's up. And obviously they can wait it up, but in some situations you can't just stand around and wait for Blade Mail to end. That there is no longer a counter to Blade Mail is dumb as hell. And I hope he reverts that change because it pisses me off. Other item changes. The Abyssal Blade is now a Basher plus a Vanguard. And it has had some changes in proportion to that. You know, now it has some Vanguard stats on it. It blocks stuff. It gives you some regen. It does less damage. But the stun cooldown was massively reduced. The overpower. Mm-hmm. I think, let me pull up the exact numbers here. Yeah, it went from being a 60-second cooldown to a 35-second cooldown.
Yeesh.
For a BKB piercing stun.
And the mana cost went way down. Yeah.
Like that, that's a really terrifying buff to an item that was already really powerful. I admit, like, the fact that you took away the damage means maybe some carries won't want it anymore. But you've made it just a terrifying item, and I'm not... If you fix that cooldown, or you raise it some, and maybe we're fine, but like this, that just seems really fucked up to me. I feel like you shouldn't have consistent access to a long BKB piercing stun.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Maybe he's sick of the BKB. Maybe that's the message we're getting here.
Maybe. I don't know. You want to talk about some of these new items?
Let's talk about, what's it called? Hurricane Pike.
Yeah, what a weird item. What a weird thing.
This one's weird in a fun way, I think.
I think some changes might need... Well, I think one change might need to be made. Otherwise, I basically agree. So it's a 4-staff, a dragon lance, and a recipe. And so it has the stat bonuses you would expect from that.
The recipe is really cheap. Like, it's a token price. The recipe is 250 gold.
Yeah. Actually, that agility has a lot of agility on it, which I wouldn't have expected from two items that don't have any agility on them. So what happens is when you use it on an enemy, it will push the enemy away from you 450 units and push you away from them the same amount. And also, then thereafter, you get a buff that allows you to attack the target ignoring any range restrictions for 4 attacks or 5 seconds, you know, whichever gets used up first, right? Which is just a really, like, that sec, like, the pushback is weird but cool. Mm-hmm. The range restriction attacks thing is just bizarre.
Worth mentioning, too, you can also just use it like a 4-staff if it's on yourself or your allies.
Oh, sure, sure. I don't understand what that range... Like, the only thing I've seen demonstrating what you can do with the range restriction thing is a person who spec'd in a particular way in training mode where you wouldn't do this in a real match, probably, but as Enchantress... used the Hurricane Pike on someone who was in their face, and then TP'd home, and then attacked them 4 times with impetus from the fountain.
Huh.
And they exploded, of course. I don't know. It seems that part I would change, but it's a neat idea, and I think it's a creative upgrade to the 4-staff for sure.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Bloodthorn?
Bloodthorn! Anything with blood in the name. I'm down.
It is now one of the most expensive items in the game. It is a orchid plus a chrysalis plus a 1,000 gold recipe. And it has the stats you'd expect. And also, when you silence a target with it, that target, anyone on your team who attacks it, gets true strike on that target and also the 1.35 times crit damage. And also the cooldown shorter than an orchid. So... this is good for a Wind Ranger. This is good for a Storm Spirit. This is unbelievably good for a Klynx.
Because Klynx needed more help.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that guy.
Me too.
And I guess, like, part of the thing was that Desolator is kind of the build for him these days, right? Like, Orchid's still good, but it went out of fashion to an extent over Desolator. Mm-hmm. And now this is certainly a very valid option. Though, of course, at 7,195 gold, it's extremely expensive. So
it's a real investment.
So one that you were excited about that I'm still trying to make my mind up about is the Echo Saber.
Let me scroll down to it.
Alright. It is a Oblivion Staff and an Ogre Club, which, by the way, Valve, you should make that disassemblable, because a lot of people are going to pick up a BKB on their way to an Orchid. That'll just sort of happen. You should let us disassemble this thing. And what it does is it gives you some stat boots, but mostly it causes your melee attacks to hit twice in a row on a 5-second cooldown, and your second attack does a 0.6 second 100% movement and attack speed slow.
And there's a 5-second cooldown on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not every melee attack.
Right. The thing that's... Oh, of course, it only works on melee heroes because it does say melee attacks. So the thing that is really interesting to me about this is I used to play World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah.
And in World of Warcraft, it was not as simple as attacking faster is always good, right? For some classes, that was absolutely the case. But there were some people who had abilities based on how hard they're... And like, there were abilities that's like, cast this spell and it will do your weapon damage plus X number. And so you wanted a weapon that hit slow and hard, right? And that's not really a concept in Dota. But with this Echo Saber, I can see it becoming something of a concept, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Because, like, the 5-second cooldown, like, means that it's only really useful if you don't attack very fast. So, like, I played a game earlier where a Faceless Void got it, and he was having a grand old time. It's interesting, and I wonder if it's going to get picked up more by, like, melee supports?
Hmm.
I'm not sure.
Well, and as you say, if they make it disassemblable, then it might be, like, a sort of cheaper on-the-way pickup, you know?
Sure.
And not a bad idea.
Yeah. But yeah, like, one of the things about it being an Oblivion Staff and an Ogre Club, a lot of the heroes who want an Orchid, and everyone wants a BKB, but a lot of the heroes who want an Orchid are ranged heroes. So, like, there have been examples of, like, a Klinx getting this by accident and being unable to disassemble it, and it kind of screws him. So, you know, or I could see that happening to an Invoker or a Wind Ranger or a Storm Spirit. So you really should let us disassemble this thing.
Unless this is hilarious to you, in which case, carry on.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody be careful with that stashing.
I don't know. What else do we talk about, Em? There's a lot here.
Are there any hero changes that really rock your socks, aside from the ag stuff?
I mean, aside from the ag stuff, I mean, you know, and we talked about Arc Warden, of course. I mean, there are a lot of changes to Brewmaster that I really am looking to see how that works out for them. I don't know, like, they tried to change Storm Brewlings, that, like, the wind Brewlings Windwalk, like his stealth backstab, to do more damage, and that ability has never really mattered. And they changed his stun to be some kind of, like, damage buildings more, and they're doing weird stuff with him. And I don't really understand.
To everyone's surprise, OD got nerfed.
OD got nerfed. Invoker got nerfed hard.
Omni Knight got nerfed.
Mm-hmm.
Womp womp.
Yeah, you know. It's fair.
You've been saying Phantom Assassin needs a little help. What do you think of the change they made to her?
I think it helps her late game a lot. The change they made is that her Stifling Dagger is now just a normal physical attack. It deals 60 plus, you know, a percentage of your damage, scaling with ranks. I think it might be a nerf in the early game, because early game she uses it, like, she'll use it to secure last hits against a really hard lane.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, it seems pretty potent. So I don't know. I don't know if that's enough. I'm curious to see how that shakes out. I do want to give a quick shout out to the Puck buff. Increased illusory orb speed by 1. That may sound pointless, and it is. It is a reference to a person who on r/Dota 2 used a random text generator to come up with fake patch notes as a gag, and that was one of those changes. So I guess Ice Frog thought that was funny. Sand King got a really big buff in his Sandstorm. So Sandstorm's max channel time used to be 20, 40, 60, 80 with ranks, and now it's just a flat 50, which is the cooldown. You can Sandstorm jungle at level 1 now. That's really helpful for him.
Shadow Fiend's been out of play for a little while. Do you think his changes will change that? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think adding more souls, more max souls to his ags is, like, so he's got better damage scaling, and also that ags was pretty good, actually. Like, he just needed, like, this is exactly what he needed, right? Because, like, his ult's powerful. Everyone knows his ult's powerful, and his ult doing twice the damage and also healing him for damage done is really good, but no right-click carry wants an Ags that just makes them rely on their ult even more. So giving him something when he's not using his ult with that Ags is what that thing needed, I think.
You also wanted Timbersaw to get some love. I think actually a lot of this was off-air, but we've been talking... Was this on-air? We talked about who we want to be OP in the next... Yeah.
Yeah.
So Timbersaw got a little love.
He did. He did. The reactive armor regen and armor increases with ranks now, and also the Whirling Death debuff duration is longer. I think that'll help him get more attention. I don't think it's going to turn him into, like, terrifying territory. Speaking of which, terrifying territory, Terrorblade got a base 3 armor buff,
woo,
which I think means he has 10 armor at level 1, which is fucking unreal.
He does have terror in his name.
That's ridiculous. Like, he's still, you know, you still can just melt him with magic because he has a low starting HP. But, like, you thought Ogre Magi was obnoxious just walking towards you and hitting you. Jesus. Let's see. Skywrath Mage got an interesting change to his Scepter version of his Ags. Scepter version of his ult. Which is, it does the same damage per second as it used to. It just lasts nearly 6 times as long. They did change the cooldown, so it doesn't have a 0-second cooldown anymore. But, like, you cast that, and it does, I believe, a total of 7,000 magical damage.
Yikes.
Off one cast. Obviously, that is them standing in it without anyone distributing the damage for 12 seconds, which is unlikely to happen. And also, you know, magic resistance. But, boy, that's some fucking damage right there for someone who can't move.
Nature's Prophet, the vision he gets from Treants got severely cut. Ha-ha, great.
And also, Treants give more of a bounty, which I also approve of. They added a scepter to Oracle. We didn't mention it before. It's super boring.
Yeah, it follows the pattern.
Yeah, Purifying Flames has a shorter cooldown and cast point. Like, okay, I don't care. I don't know, like, as I say, overall, like, there were also some changes to the map that are appreciated. Like, none of them are crazy, they're appreciated. There's, like, you know, making the towers spaced out a little more on Radiant, adding some more little juke paths, adding another wart spot in the Dire Jungle, and they're not making the map more symmetrical, but they're making some of the advantages less, like, Dire has been better in 6.86, right? That's pretty well known. And adding some new little ways to kind of give Radiant a little boost and also nerf Dire a little is appreciated. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, one of the changes that makes the most difference in my life, in ranked all pick, now you have 15 seconds to vote for a hero to be banned, and then half of them will be picked. I was unable to get Huskar banned the one time I voted. It's 15 seconds. It's very short, and especially right now, people, like, you have to have a plan going in, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is a good thing. But right now it means people are like, oh, wait, what's happening? Oh, it's over.
We'll adapt.
Yeah, we'll adapt.
I don't know. And Death Prophet, Spirit Siphon got nerfed.
Yeah. Yeah, she got a few little nerfs that I think won't make her no longer relevant, but will make her less, you know, like she was on the verge of being a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I was surprised she didn't push over into being a nightmare, but I don't know. Overall, what do you think about all this?
I'm never playing Dota again.
Okay. That's a reasonable, you know, response to all this, for sure.
Yeah. Reasonable responses are why I'm here.
Yeah. But really, what do you think?
I'm really upset about Tome of Knowledge. I really am.
Why? It doesn't affect your... It won't... it will affect maybe 3 games you ever play.
It's a slippery slope, my friend.
It's always been a slippery slope, Emily.
This is the first step down a different slippery slope. Also, I don't like it that Hand of God no longer fully heals Chen's creeps. That seems fucked up. Come on. It's the Hand of God. They are his followers.
His God kind of sucks, all right?
Well, that's true. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of changes we didn't talk about. A lot of little changes to a bunch of items, a lot of little changes to a bunch of heroes. But this feels to me like one of the most experimental patches I've ever seen.
Hmm. Although they're still making the items the 5 has to buy cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
I actually kind of dislike that, but
it's getting to a weird point. Wards are cheaper, a flying courier is cheaper, a town portal scroll is cheaper.
50 Again. Gold TP is just like, come on. Like, just if...
People still aren't buying them.
That's like, people are either not buying them because they're idiots and they won't buy them unless they're free, or because they don't have the slots. This does not fix either of those things. I think it's stupid. Anyway, this has been our Bottle Crow 6.87 patch notes special. Oh, actually, one more thing. Towers now give you an armor aura.
They don't have true sight for as far.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I mean, I had my life saved by that armor aura already. I offlaned as an Earthshaker. Someone tried to dive me. I survived because of that armor aura. And they died. I don't know. This has been a weird patch. And we'll see how it shakes out. But I think... I almost wonder if this is Ice Frog partially resenting the fact that he was forced to put out a patch by people being like, well, where's the patch? So insistently. It is a bad thing that we do that. And I'm saying that as the person who titled a podcast that came out 2 days ago, 6.87 is never coming. It was a joke. I'm sorry.
Also, though, let's pour one out for a 6.86, which was a great patch.
It was a fantastic patch.
Good meta. Thanks, 6.86.
Thank you.
I would have thanked Ice Frog, but now I've seen this new patch and I'm not ready.
Yeah, I think he's having some... He's using this as an opportunity to collect some data in a major that I wonder if it's going to change anyone's minds. Like, I think it's going to be a good tournament. I think it's going to be fun. I think they probably already know who they're inviting to the International. And with that said, thanks everybody for joining us. This has been our Bottle Crow 6.87 patch notes special. You can find us on iTunes and give us a rating or review there if you wanted to, and we would really appreciate that. Also, tell your friends about us. Spread the word. We would really appreciate that. You can also send us any emails with questions or comments to bottlecrowpodcast@gmail.com or any tweets you wanted to send us at bottlecrow on Twitter. We are a member of the Scanline Media group. Let's say
family.
Group. Family, sure. At scanlinemedia.com, where we do other podcasts and also articles and videos with some games criticism. And if you wanted to chip in and help us cover more stuff, you could go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Any money you give us just goes to helping us cover more stuff. It's not for profit. And thanks to Reddit user Pomodi for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which will be our intro and outro music here. And I think we'll use different music than normal. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you in a week and a half.
Something like that.
Something.
Bye.
Bye.